Hello, friends. Sleep Tight Stories, Sleep Tight Relax, and Sleep Tight Science are now available to play on StoryButton, the device that makes it easy to listen to our shows and more without having to use a phone or tablet. This month, you can save $10 at StoryButton.com when you use the code SLEEPTIGHT. StoryButton, the home of imagination.
You're listening to Sleep Tight Science.
Did you know that some spiders can surf the web?
What?
No, not the internet. The diving bell spider can create a bubble of air around its abdomen and use it to breathe underwater. It's like its own little diving suit. Hello, friends, and welcome back to Sleep Tight Science, a bedtime show that answers your questions about science. In this episode, we will start talking about Darwin's bark spider. This is pretty specific, but I thought they were very interesting when I viewed a video about them. Now, before we start learning about them specifically, let's learn a bit about spiders in general. Spiders, though some might consider them a little creepy, are some of our planet's most fascinating and diverse creatures. They belong to a group of animals called arachnids, including scorpions, mites, and yucky ticks. Unlike insects with six legs, all arachnids, including spiders, have eight legs. They are found almost everywhere, from the hottest deserts to the coldest mountains. Spiders are well known for their incredible ability to make silk. This silk isn't just regular string. It's a super material that spiders produce using special glands in their bodies. They use this silk to create webs, which are like their own custom-made fishing nets for catching food, mainly insects. But that's not all. Spiders use their silk for a bunch of other cool things, like making shelters, wrapping up their eggs, or even flying through the air on silk parachutes. One of the most amazing things about spiders is how different they can be. There are more than 45,000 known species of spiders, and they come in all sorts of sizes, shapes, and colors. And that doesn't include the kind you find in comic books. Some spiders are as small as a grain of sand, while others, like the Goliath bird-eater tarantula, can be as big as a dinner plate. Now that is a spider I would not like to meet. Spiders' behaviors are just as varied. Some are solitary hunters, like the wolf spider, roaming around and pouncing on their prey. Others, like the orb weaver spider, build intricate webs to catch their meals. Spiders also have some unique features that help them survive and thrive. They have eight eyes, but not all of them see the same way. Some spiders have great vision, while others sense the world mostly through vibrations and touch. And let's not forget their fangs. Most spiders have venomous bites that they use to subdue their prey. Don't worry, though. Most spiders aren't dangerous to humans and are more interested in catching bugs than bothering people. Another cool fact about spiders is their role in ecosystems. They're like nature's pest control agents, helping keep the insect population in check. Without spiders, we would be overrun with all sorts of bugs. Plus, they're a vital food source for many other animals, like birds and small mammals. But spiders aren't just about catching and eating bugs. They also have interesting social lives. Some spider species even show signs of social behavior, living in communities and sharing resources. And when it comes to romance, spiders have unique courtship rituals. Some dance, some bring gifts, and some even play music by plucking their webs like a guitar. So spiders might seem a bit creepy at first, but the more you learn about them, the more fascinating they become. Did you know spiders have blue blood? Spiders have blue blood instead of red blood like humans because they have a copper-based molecule called hemocyanin for transporting oxygen. The Darwin's bark spider's scientific name is Cerostris darwini, and this spider is named after the famed naturalist Charles Darwin. It's commonly found in Madagascar, an island known for its unique and diverse wildlife. The Darwin's bark spider stands out for several reasons, particularly its extraordinary web-building abilities. This spider spins the largest and strongest orb webs ever observed. The webs can span rivers, streams, and even lakes, stretching over 25 meters or 82 feet in length. That's longer than a school bus. The silk of these spiders is not just impressively long, but also incredibly tough. It's about 10 times stronger than Kevlar, the material used to make bulletproof vests. This makes the Darwin's bark spider silk the toughest biological material ever studied. The silk is also very elastic. This elasticity is crucial because it allows the web to stretch without breaking when prey hits it or when it's weighed down by raindrops. What's even more fascinating is how these spiders use their remarkable webs. They typically build their webs over water, which seems like an odd place for a spider, but there's a method to this madness. Building webs over water helps them catch a variety of prey, including insects that are flying over the water or even small fish. The web's position also protects it from many predators and competition from other spiders. But how does a small spider manage to build such large webs over water? The Darwin's bark spider uses a clever technique. It releases a long thread of silk that catches the wind and drifts until it sticks to the vegetation or structure on the other side of the water. The spider then carefully strengthens and expands this bridge, creating a base for the rest of the web. This process is an incredible feat of natural engineering. The female Darwin's bark spider is much larger than the male, a common trait in many spider species. These females are the architects and builders of the large webs, while the males are much smaller and less conspicuous. The female's larger size helps them handle the demands of web construction and egg laying. The female Darwin's bark spider can be about 2.5 centimeters or 1 inch in body length. Now, that might not sound huge, but in the spider universe, that's pretty sizable. The males are usually less than half the size of the females. When it comes to color, Darwin's bark spiders aren't the flashy types. They're more about blending in than standing out. These spiders usually have a brown or gray coloration, which helps them stay hidden from predators and sneak up on their prey. This color scheme is excellent for camouflage, especially when they're hanging out in their massive webs. As for unique markings, Darwin's bark spiders aren't as distinctive as some other spider species. They don't have big patterns on their bodies. Instead, they have subtle patterns that can include shades of brown, gray, and sometimes white. These patterns help them blend into the tree bark and foliage where they build their webs, making it easier to catch unsuspecting insects. Their life cycle and reproduction are also intriguing. After mating, the female lays eggs that are protected in a silk cocoon. The young spiders, or spiderlings, then go through a series of molts, shedding their exoskeletons to grow. Each spiderling eventually builds its own web and continues the cycle of life. Now, why should we care about these web-spinning wonders? Apart from keeping the insect population in check, these spiders are a gold mine of information for scientists. Studying their super strong silk can lead to breakthroughs in creating new, stronger materials for all sorts of uses, from safer ropes to advanced protective gear. If you get a chance, ask your parents to find a video of them spinning their web. It's truly amazing. Did you know that the smallest spider in the world is as tiny as a pinhead? The Patu Digua spider from Colombia can be less than 1 millimeter in size. Now for some questions from our listeners. Our first question is from Callie, age 5. Callie would like to know why raspberries have fuzz on them. We ate raspberries and didn't think about this question, but the reason is pretty interesting. The little hairs or fuzz on raspberries are called trinomes. They're not just there to make the raspberry feel funny. They have some important jobs to do. First, the fuzz helps protect the raspberries from bugs and other small creatures that might want to eat them. It's like the raspberry's own little suit of armor against tiny invaders. These tiny hairs can also help hold onto water droplets, which is helpful for the raspberry. The water can help keep the fruit hydrated and healthy. The fuzz can also help protect mold from growing on the raspberry. Mold likes to grow in moist places, but the fuzz keeps the surface of the raspberry dry enough to make it harder for mold to take hold. And lastly, just like we might wear a hat or sunscreen, the raspberry's fuzz can provide shade and protection from the sun's rays. So the next time you want to eat some raspberries, you know now that all the fuzz is how the raspberry stays safe and healthy until it's ready to be eaten. Thanks for the question, Callie. Next, we have a question from Helia, who is 10 years old and from Gatineau, Canada. Helia asks, do we need to put sunscreen on our ears? Well, I know that Clark usually does because his ears kind of stick out a lot. But what does science say? Science says we should put sunscreen on our ears. When we're out in the sun, protecting all parts of our skin from the sun's rays is important, and our ears are no exception. Here's why. The skin on our ears is just as likely to get sunburned as the skin on our face or arms. In fact, our ears can sometimes be even more at risk because they stick out a bit, or a lot in Clark's case, and can catch a lot of sunlight. Plus, we often forget about them when we are putting on sunscreen. Getting a sunburn on your ears can be really uncomfortable. And just like sunburns on other parts of your body, it can be harmful to your skin. Over time, too much sun without protection can lead to more serious skin problems. So next time you're getting ready for a day in the sun, don't forget to dab some sunscreen on your ears, too. Thank you for the question, Helia. Our last question comes from Maxwell, who is 4 years old and from Melbourne, Australia. Maxwell wants to know how you can become an astrophysicist. Astrophysicists are scientists who study space, stars, planets, and galaxies. All the amazing stuff up in the night sky. We asked a science teacher friend how you can become one when you get older. First, stay curious about space. If you love looking at the stars and wondering about the universe, you're already on the right path. Keep asking questions about space and the stars. Second, do well in school, especially in science and math. These subjects are like the tools of a space detective. They help you understand how the universe works. Third, read books about space and watch shows about the universe. There is so much to learn about planets, stars, black holes, and other cool space stuff. Fourth, when you get to high school, take physics, chemistry, and advanced math classes. These will help you prepare for college, where you can study more about space. Fifth, in college, you can study astrophysics or a related field like physics or astronomy. Sixth, after college, you might go to a special school called graduate school to learn even more and become a real expert. Seventh, lastly, with all that learning, you can become an astrophysicist and work at a place like NASA, a university, or a space observatory. You might even get to use giant telescopes or send stuff to space. Like many things, becoming an astrophysicist takes a lot of hard work and learning. But if you love space and are excited about exploring the universe, it sounds like it can be one of the coolest jobs around. Thank you for the question, Maxwell. In this episode, we learned about spiders, especially the Darwin's bark spider, and some questions from you, our listeners. The Darwin's bark spider is interesting for a number of reasons. One, it has incredible web strength. We touched on the strength of the Darwin's bark spider's silk, but let's put this into perspective. The silk is the toughest biological material known, stronger than steel, and tougher than Kevlar. This means it can hold more weight and withstand more force before breaking than many man-made materials. The spider's web is so strong that it can even catch small birds. Number two, these spiders build their webs over water for a reason. By doing so, they can catch a wider variety of prey, including insects that fly over the surface of the water. The water also helps protect the web from damage by land animals. Number three, the Darwin's bark spider plays an important role in its ecosystem. Controlling insect populations helps maintain the balance of nature in its habitat. These spiders are also a food source for other animals, making them an integral part of the food chain. Number four, the life cycle of the Darwin's bark spider involves fascinating mating rituals and egg-laying processes. After mating, the female lays eggs and wraps them in a silk cocoon for protection. Like many other species, the lifespan of these spiders typically spans for about a year, during which they go through the entire process of growth, maturation, reproduction, and laying the groundwork for the next generation. Number five. The unique properties of the Darwin's bark spider silk have attracted the interest of scientists and researchers. Studies of its silk could lead to innovations in materials science, such as creating stronger, more flexible, and more durable materials for various applications, from medical sutures to bulletproof vests. Number six. The Darwin's bark spider is a prime example of adaptation. Its ability to construct enormous, resilient webs in strategically advantageous locations showcases its survival skills and adaptability to the environment. As with many creatures, the Darwin's bark spider's existence is closely tied to its habitat, which is the unique environment of Madagascar. Understanding and preserving its habitat is crucial for the conservation of this species, especially considering the island's rich biodiversity and the threats of habitat loss and climate change. This episode was made with questions from Callie, who is 5 years old, Helia from Gatineau, Canada, who is 10 years old, and Maxwell from Melbourne, Australia, who is 4 years old. Thank you to Kea from Redmond, Washington, who is 6 and a half. Caleb in Pennsylvania, who is 8. Gina in Gatineau, Canada, who is 9. Agnes, who is 7. Peregrine from Saskatchewan. Jordy in Louisville, Kentucky, who is 6. Arik and Niaye. Wolfie, who is 5. Bruno Fisher, who is 5. Dor, Lily from Poland, who is 10, and Demetrius, who is 12, and Lamaya, who is 4. We love getting your feedback on our show. If you have any feedback, please send it our way. And if you want to make sure you get all the episodes, please ask your parents to subscribe. You can find us on Apple Podcasts or wherever your parents listen to podcasts. And please, if you love learning about science with us, leave us a review. It may help others find our show. If you'd like to send your questions, please send them to hello@sleeptightscience.com. We can't answer all your questions, but we do read them. And if you send them in, we will give you a shout out on our show. Sleep tight.